This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Let's talk about cap rates, ROI, and IRRs. Which financial metric matters most in the world of self-storage? Let's talk about that today. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy that houses the training that I offer. The small investor who wants to get in or who wants to grow their self-storage business. You can find out about the training and the courses I offer small investors in the storage space at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. And even seasoned storage people sometimes don't always know which financial metric is best to keep their eye on. And if you're new in this space, it can be confusing, I'm sure. Cap rates, ROI, IRR. Which one is best? Which one matters most? Which one should I be focused on as I'm looking at getting in or adding my next self-storage facility? I'm also going to leave a worksheet, an Excel worksheet. It's a free downloadable worksheet that you can download, and it'll help you calculate each of these metrics. But let's talk about them first. And we're going to start with cap rates. Cap rates is probably the most bantered around financial metric there is, and it is probably the most misrepresented number ever in the history of the self-storage space. It's atrocious what I see in some of these marketing packages. So, hot tip, whatever you see as an IRR in the marketing OMs that you get, just know it's not that. Now, in the rest of the commercial real estate world and in the appraisal world, cap rates are used to determine value and determine what someone can pay for a certain type of commercial investment asset. And we're going to start with how appraisers use it. Now, cap rate is short for capitalization rate. So, the first thing that an appraiser or an investor using a cap rate financial metric needs to do is to calculate what the net operating income is. Now, before we talk about that, let's move up and get a 30,000 foot view on commercial investment real estate assets. And self-storage is one of those. From a high view, all commercial real estate assets, what you're really doing is you're buying hard assets, the buildings, the roofs, the paving. You're buying hard assets to generate operating income. Now, operating income is usually rent, but all the rent that you collect and goes into the bank, that isn't all your money. Why? Well, because there's a cost to running the business that generates the operating income. Not the hard assets, running the business that generates the operating income. So what are we talking about? Well, you got to turn the lights on in your facility. You got to have a website in your facility. You pay property taxes so that you can run that business. You'll have people working there. Even if you're a managerless office, you're going to have people working at your facility doing something. So to calculate the net operating income, what you do is you take operating income, the rent usually, and there can be other income streams as we've talked about many times, and you subtract the operating income. And that gives you the net NOI, net operating income. Now, there are other types of income you can have. Like you could sell off some land that's adjoining the facility. That's capital sale. That's income, but it's not operating income. That's not included in the NOI calculation. You could have refinance proceeds come in. You could pull $1 million in the month of August on a refi, but that's financing income. That's not operating income. That's not included in your net operating income calculation. You could also have other expenses. If you put a roof on the hard asset, that's an expense to you, but that's not an operating expense. That's a capital expense. If you're paying a commission to the agents that come up with the bogus cap rate numbers, that's a commission. That's not an operating income. That would not be included in your NOI calculation. So you have other sources of income and other type of expenses. But for the NOI, operating income, operating expenses, NOI. Now, why is the net operating income important? Why is that an important number to have? Because in essence, that's what you're buying. Yes, you're buying the buildings, but what you're really paying for is that income stream. And what appraisers do is they look at that income stream, and depending on what the asset is, like self-storage, they have charts and metrics, and they know what is an appropriate cap rate in any particular moment in time to use to place a value on that income stream. In other words, what will a ready, willing, and able buyer pay for that income stream? And let's say an appraiser today would say for stabilized institutional grade self-storage in a major market, a ready, willing, and able buyer will pay about a 6.5 cap rate, or in other words, they will pay whatever it takes to get a 6.5% return on that income stream, on that NOI income stream. If it's in a secondary market or a rural market, they'll pay whatever it takes to get a 7% return on that net operating income stream. Now, you'll notice what's not included in the NOI calculation is the loan payment. Why? Well, that's not an operating expense. And somebody could buy it all cash, and the NOI is, you know, what's left. Or somebody could buy that facility with 100% financing. It doesn't matter. We'll talk about net cash flow in another metric in a minute. But the net operating income is what everybody's paying for, that income stream. If you have a net operating income stream of, let's say, $350,000, and you're in a major market, and 6.5 appears to be the correct cap rate to use at this moment in time, that would place a value of $5,384,615. How did I come up with that number? I take that net operating income of $350,000 and I divide it by 0.065, or a 6.5 cap rate. Now, again, there's going to be an Excel sheet, free downloadable Excel sheet that you can download if you want to, that will help you calculate a cap rate if you have the net operating income, or it will help you calculate the net operating income with income and expenses, and it will tell you what the value of an asset is if you plug a certain cap rate in. Now, as a buyer, very often if you're buying on cap rates, you would want to know what you can offer. Like, you might have a cap rate in mind, let's say 7%, and you know what the NOI is. What can you offer? Well, in that downloadable sheet will be a way to tell you. Now, the real trick is, if you're a buyer, do not use the expense numbers in the offering memorandum. They're 99.378% wrong. Yes, I will look and see what they pay in utilities. Yes, I might look at what they plugged in for property taxes based on the sale price. I'm interested in their personnel number, but it's not going to be my personnel number. I'm interested in if they're doing any advertising, but I'm putting advertising in and online marketing. You need to look at how you're going to run that facility. You might add personnel or you might take personnel away. But look how you're going to run that facility. Come up with your operating expense numbers. I'll use their income, what's there now, not what their pie-in-the-sky projections of what it's going to be in year two, in year three, but what they're currently doing now. And then I'll put my expense numbers in there. And that's going to tell me, and that will tell you, what your most likely NOI could be the first 12 months of ownership. Then if you want to apply a cap rate to that NOI to give you a sale price, do it. Now here's a pro tip. It's been a long time since I really put much emphasis and looked hard at what my going in cap rate's going to be on self-storage. Why? Well, because I'm almost always doing a value add play. And I use the other metrics we're going to talk about. Now, if I was buying a triple net lease, in other words, if I was buying a commercial real estate asset where the tenant paid taxes, insurance, maintenance, paid everything, and the rent was, in essence, my NOI because I have zero operating expenses, they'll even pay the taxes often, like a Walgreens, that's a triple net lease. So if I was buying a Walgreens, my going in cap rate is like everything. That's a critical metric I would use to determine what I can offer on that commercial real estate asset. It's been a long time, 15 years plus, since I've been able to buy a storage facility that way. I'm always looking at the other metrics today. But I do calculate cap rates, but where I apply them is, I apply them on future cash flows in my pro forma, so I can estimate what the value of that facility is going to be in the future. I might say I'm going to apply a 7% cap rate in year 2, 3, 4, all the way through year 10. I can estimate what the value of that asset's going to be because it's self-storage. I can pretty well project very closely what my NOI is going to be into the future after I do my value add play. So that's where I use cap rates mostly with self-storage. Let's talk about another metric you'll hear bantered around quite a bit called ROI, return on investments. Sometimes you'll hear it referred to as a cash on cash return. So what does that mean? So in any given deal that you're going to do, any given purchase, you're going to have some cash going in the deal. Usually it's your down payment. Sometimes it's your down payment and your due diligence costs. But that's the cash that went into the deal. If you're working and raising money with investors, whatever you collect from investors, that's the cash in the deal. The return on investment measures year by year, not from the net operating income, but from all the way down to the net cash flow after reserves or after capital improvements and after loan payments. Whatever's left over that's yours or you can distribute, that's the net cash flow. With that net cash flow is of what percent of the amount of money that initially went in the deal. Let's take a look at a deal. We're going to look at the Storage World Analyzer, but let's take a look at a deal that we did. So here's a 10-year cash flow that was in my initial pro forma as I looked at this deal, and this was an expansion. We were buying existing space. Gross potential income, as you can see in year one, when we purchased it, was $206,520. And by the way, that was the gross potential income off their current street rates, not some 10% increase because they're 10% below market rates. This was what they were getting. And then we were doing construction year one, and we were going to lease that building up in year three. And by the time we were done, the gross potential income was going to be closer to $817,000. So if you look down, you see the net operating income. And below that is the loan payment. So we have the net cash flows. Now, in this particular deal structure, as I was analyzing this, we were putting in $898,750. So how would you calculate an ROI? Let's look at year four, for example. We anticipated the net cash flow to be $198,327. That is a 22.07% ROI, or cash on cash return, for that $898,750. Let's test you on cap rates. At the bottom of year four, we were projecting a value of $5,070,624. So what cap rate did I use in my pro forma to come up with that value? Let's look at the net operating income for year four. An NOI projection of $405,650. So you divide $405,650 by the $5,070,624, I was using an 8 cap at that time to determine future values. Now, the ROI to me is an important number, simply because I'm work with investor money. I have partners and investors in almost every deal I do. And one of the things I need to be able to tell them is, if you put in $200,000 in this deal, here's what my projected year-by-year rate of returns are on that money. And we also use another benchmark we're going to talk about in just a minute. But that's, for me, a much more critical calculation. I want to know, for example, after I do my value add play and I lease that up, what's my rate of return going to be? Now, if you're buying an existing self-storage facility and you don't do a value add play, you're going to see ROIs negative. That means you have negative cash flow. Or you might see ROIs starting negative and then maybe getting to 2-5%. That's typically what you see in many packages today before you do any kind of value add play. You don't want to do those deals, obviously. Why? Well, because you can put that $800,000 in a index fund and generate 6-10% over the same time period, and you don't have to do a thing, and it's liquid. So if I'm going to tie money up and I'm going to burn the calories and I'm going to build a building, I'm going to want to see 12-20% rates of cash on cash return on that money I initially put in the deal. And I want to create some value, some equity in the project. So the ROI is a much more relevant metric to me as I'm analyzing storage deals. Let's look at the third financial benchmark number that I tend to focus on quite a bit. And I've discovered many people really don't understand it or know how to calculate it. And it's IRR. You'll hear that number a lot, internal rate of return. Now, what does that really mean? Well, we're going to stay with the same project we were looking at. What that really means is, if I invest $898,750 in this deal when we close it, over the life of that asset, it analyzes the rate of return on however much cash goes in a deal over the life of that deal. Now, the Storage World Analyzer automatically calculates that for you and puts it on page one, so you really don't get to see the formula of it. Now, in the downloadable worksheet, the formulas are already tied into the worksheets, but you can enter the numbers. So we're going to manually calculate an internal rate of return on this particular project that we're looking at, so you understand how IRRs are calculated and what they mean. Now, when creating a chart to figure out an internal rate of return, there's basically two columns to it. And we're going to start with the 10-year internal rate of return on this deal, but the two columns are time periods and cash flows. And you'll notice that it starts with time period zero. Every internal rate of return calculation starts within time period zero. What is that? Or better question, when is that? Well, time period zero is at closing, or when your money goes in the deal, which is usually closing. And the number that shows up on this chart is always a negative number. Why? Well, because it's money going in the deal. Money going in the deal always is a negative number. Money coming out of the deal always is a positive number. So in this particular deal, we had $898,750 going in the deal at time period zero, or the closing. Let's look at the cash flow chart. You can see in year one, we had a negative. In other words, more money went in the deal than came out in the first year. $21,125 was projected to go in the deal. And in year two, the net distributable cash was projected to be $66,827. So when I'm filling out one of these charts, and I rarely have to do it because the analyzer calculates it for me, but this is, you can go in Excel and do it. And again, you'll have this downloadable worksheet. But what I do is I go through, if I'm doing a 10-year cash flow, I start with my cash in and I fill it out through year nine. And I get it straight off my 10-year pro forma. And you can see here that we have our numbers entered till the last time period. So in the last time period, even if I don't plan on selling it in 10 years, to come up with an IRR, I have to have a, quote, disposition sales proceeds. In other words, net sales proceeds from a sale. Even though I'm not going to sell it, to come up with an IRR, in other words, what that initial down payment would average over the life of that investment, I have to sell it, because that's the life of it. Every investment ends when you dispose of it or sell it. So you can go in the Storage World Analyzer or in your 10-year cash flow projections, if you're doing a 10-year IRR calculation, and see what the net sales proceeds are estimated to be. So what goes in the last time period is the net cash flows for that year plus the net sales proceeds. In the Storage World Analyzer, the net sales proceeds were estimated to be $3,846,926. So the net cash flow for the last time period is $4,124,971, and the trusty Excel downloadable worksheet informs me that's 24.6 internal rate of return. In other words, this $898,750 over the life of this investment, if these are the cash flows, would have averaged 24.6% per year over the life of this investment. Would you do that deal? I'd probably do that deal. So when I'm looking at a deal, not that this is yours, this is based on my business strategy, but I look real closely at what is my ROI and what is my internal rate of return. And I have benchmark numbers. And I've got to hit minimum numbers. My IRR over a 10-year, my minimum is 20%. If it's under that, I've got to offer less to get to my 20% internal rate of return. Don't take that just because that's mine. Come up with your own. Well, let's calculate a 5-year internal rate of return. Very often when you're syndicating or pulling investors in, they don't want to tie their $898,000 up for 10 years, but they'll tie it up for five. So let's calculate a 5-year internal rate of return on this same deal. So basically, years one through four are already filled out for you. Let's look at year five. In year five, on a 5-year deal with the net cash flow plus the net sales proceeds, the trusty downloadable Excel sheet informs us this is a 29.9%. internal rate of return in a 5-year deal. So from a return perspective, what's the better hold period? 5 years or 10 years? Well, in this case, it's 5 years. Now, there may be other factors involved. You may never want to sell the deal, or you may want to give it to your heirs. But from strictly return point of view, when is the best time to sell it? Year 5 or year 10? If you have investors that put money in your deal, don't you think this would be important information to have? Now, sometimes the 10-year internal rate of return is stronger than the 5-year internal rate of return. But that's why I run them both. I want to know. It depends on what the cash flows are and when they come in. That helps determine the internal rate of return. Now, if most of your cash flow, if you're looking at a 10-year deal, and most of your cash flows are coming in year 8 and 9 and 10, from an investor point of view, that's a more risky deal than if they're coming in throughout the life of the deal or much earlier. You don't have to stack all the cash flows to get an internal rate of return towards the end of the deal. Like, this would be a less risky deal for an investor than many they would look at, because I mean, in year 5, the internal rate, but how the cash flows come in are pretty good. So we're back to the original question. What's the right metric to use when analyzing self-storage? Cap rates, ROI, or internal rate of return? Well, it depends on who you are, what your goals are, as you know. I'm hoping you're beginning to see this. But for most of us, we focus a lot heavier on the going in side, on return on investment, and internal rate of return. If I was buying a triple net lease commercial real estate asset, I would focus very heavily on cap rates, the going in cap rate, to help me determine what I can offer. But when I'm doing value add plays, it's a longer deal, and I'm much more interested in what I'm going to get on my return on the cash going in the deal and what my internal rate of return is over the life of that investment. Now, there'll be a link where you can download this worksheet, Excel worksheet, if you think it'd be helpful to you. Also remember, these metrics are calculated in the Storage World Analyzer. So thank you very much. I hope this helps you and on your self-storage journey as you go out there analyzing self-storage deals. So now you know about cap rates, ROI, and IRRs. Thank you very much. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I will see you next week.